Good morning. Good to see so many people out this morning. I want to welcome our visitors and those joining us on the live stream. We're glad that you have joined with us and welcome. I told you last week that last week and this week we'd be talking about the theme surrounding Eden. And last week we talked about the Tree of Life. This morning we're going to be talking about East of Eden, reading from Genesis 3, 22 to 24. And we're going to begin actually in Genesis chapter 2. So if you want to begin turning there to verse 8, and then we'll get to chapter 3 in just a second. Next Sunday night we're going to have our themed song and scripture service. The theme is Faith is the Victory. And we have one slot left, song or hymn number 400, How Firm a Foundation. It has stayed that way for quite a while, and I got to pick it up this Wednesday to have it ready for Sunday. So I'm going to offer an alternative. For any song leader who has an alternative song that has to do with Faith is the Victory, and you can see me, and I would substitute that for How Firm a Foundation, since we're having a hard time finding a song leader for that. And I don't think you want to hear me try to lead that song. Tonight, we're going to fulfill a request. I recently had a request to talk about why are there so many churches? And so we're going to be answering that question from scriptures and looking through history and giving a timeline in history tonight. So if you're able to and are interested in that particular question, why are there so many churches and how can we talk to those of our family and loved ones who are in those churches and how do we distinguish from all these other churches and the right church? We're going to be endeavoring to answer that question tonight. So if you're able to and in the area, we encourage you to come back at 5 p.m. tonight for that study. But this morning, we're going to talk about East of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, is that me? I don't want to move that. In Genesis chapter 2, 8 to 15, and we're going to read on the slide here, verses 8 to 12 and then 13 to 15 on the next one. It says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that's pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. The Delium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. As we talked about last week, Eden is from the Strong's 5731 in his Hebrew dictionary. It comes from another root word, Hebrew word Strong's 5730, and Eden means delight. It means pleasure, it means bliss, it means paradise. Genesis 2, 8 to 9, as we just read, God blessed man by three kinds of trees. Trees for delicious foods, the tree of life that would grant immortality, and we're going to see that as we read our text in Genesis chapter 3. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he told them not to partake of, giving them the choice to obey or not. And Genesis 2, 10 to 14, the river divided into four rivers, and the land was filled with precious metals and minerals. And in Genesis 2:15, he placed man in this garden that he created. Man didn't plant, man did not cultivate, but he put him there that man might maintain it, to cultivate it and to keep it. And so the two commands that man was given was to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were to cultivate and maintain the garden. In Genesis and elsewhere, when people go east, they leave the land of blessing, Eden and the promised land, for a land where their greatest hopes turn to ruin. Can someone turn the gain down on that? I think that is way, way high. It is starting to crack. Yeah, I didn't say anything. That wasn't... When man goes east of Eden, we see that in Sodom, and we see that in Babylon. In Isaiah 2, verse 6, we read that the Israelites were influenced by the evil of the east. And in Isaiah 39, verse 6, they were punished with exile to Babylon, which was also east. So east of Eden represents then this area of sin and punishment. And living east of Eden is Paradise Lost and the efforts to regain it. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden and they went to the east, Genesis 3, 22 to 24, as we're going to read. In Genesis 3, 22 to 24, it says, the Lord God fashioned, or I'm sorry, in chapter 3. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden to the east. They lost their right to the tree of life. And that's what we talked about last week, was the losing the right to the tree of life and through Christ regaining it. I like this picture I found. It's this angel, I don't know if you can tell on the back, but he's got his flaming sword raised high, and Adam and Eve looking over their shoulders back at the angel, and to me it looked like this angel saying, and stay out. God cast them out of this paradise that he created for them. Cain was expelled from the presence of the Lord, and he went east. In Genesis 4 and verse 16, the people moved east and built the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11 and verse 2. Lot separated from Abram and took the best lands toward the east. Genesis 13, 10 to 11. And Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot pitched his tent toward, were in the east. In Genesis 13, 11 through 13. And so we can see that living east of Eden is a metaphor for life, for the damage caused by sinful choices, and for seeking redemption. For it is east of Eden where the grace of God is found. And it is east of Eden that Christ will lead men back to that paradise that was once lost. But east of Eden can be a metaphor for sin and death. Living east of Eden means sin and death. It was east of Eden where the consequences for sin was death brought into the world. After Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3, 1 to 6, and as they were taken to task by God and the consequences and the punishments handed down both to the man, the woman, and the serpent, he told the serpent in Genesis 3:15 that he was going to send his servant one day to crush his head. And he says the serpent's going to bruise his heel, but ultimately the Messiah, the anointed one of God, is going to be victorious. And so this promise is made. But as man is cast out of this garden and the angels are there to keep them away from the tree of life, it is the consequences for sin that is death. Death was brought into the world. Physical death became possible. In Genesis 5:5, we read that in the course of time, Adam died. Now we can read before that that Cain killed Abel. Murder happened east of Eden. Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy, out of envy, out of whatever it was that he caused him to not be happy with him. Instead of changing his own life as God told him to do in Genesis chapter 4, he kills his brother. But in the course of time, Adam doesn't live forever. Adam dies the death that all men are destined to die. And spiritual death. Separation from God is called the second death in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. In Romans 5, 12 to 14, we can read that by one man, death entered into the world because of sin. That is Adam. But also by one man comes life, and that is Christ. So Adam and Jesus are compared there in Romans 5, 12 to 14. And it is east of Eden where men begin to trust their own wisdom and will instead of God's. In Genesis 4:16, we can read of Cain living in the land of Nod, and it specifically states east of Eden. And Genesis 4:19 to 24, where Lamech begins trusting his own wisdom and changes God's law for marriage. So living east of Eden here is away from the presence of the Lord. Genesis 4:16, Cain has to go to the land of Nod, east of Eden. John 14:23 tells us that obedience means fellowship with God. Cain was disobedient. He no longer had that fellowship with God. And marriage in the home became corrupted and defiled east of Eden. Lamech took two wives. In Genesis 2, 21 to 22, and verse 24, God told man that he's to cleave to his wife, singular, not plural. Jesus affirms that fact in Matthew 19, 4 to 6, and Mark 10, 6 to 8, where he says, from the beginning, Now Mark 10:6-8, he says, from the beginning of creation, God intended it to be one man and one wife. That man is to cleave to that wife, that is to, for the flesh, the two flesh to become one. Well, Lamech changed that law. He took two wives, and we see that sin go rampant throughout the Old Testament. And oppression and justice increased. In Genesis 4:23-24, Lamech nearly brags as he confesses to murder, possibly two murders. And so we find it is east of Eden that sin becomes rampant. But it's also east of Eden where men began to call on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 4:25-26, we read that men began calling on the name of the Lord. This would be Seth and his descendants. God did not forget his promise, the seed of woman, from Genesis 3:15. In order for that to take place, the natural order of things had to happen, and men and women had to have children. So God gives us children to comfort us, as we see in Psalm 127 and verse 3. And certainly Eve saw it that way. In Genesis 4 and verse 25, Eve gave thanks to God for Seth, saying that in her mind, God gave her Seth to replace Abel, whom Cain had killed. And so she was comforted with Seth. The blessing of free will is confirmed there. In Ezekiel chapter 18, 10-18, talks about the one that sins is going to be punished. That we have the free will in the east of Eden to either serve God or choose to do as everyone else east of Eden is doing. We need to remember as Christians, our culture does not define our faith. We cannot look to our culture to find out what is holy, what is righteous, and what will gain us entrance into heaven. No, we have to turn our sights above earth, above our culture, above our world, to heaven. We need to live above the culture. Romans 13:11-14, Philippians 2:15, and Matthew 5:16 from Jesus himself calls on his followers to be lights in the dark world around us. So as those that put on Christ in baptism, we make this commitment to him. This is a lifelong commitment to not live like the rest of the world, to not live as they do, not do as they do, not speak the way they do, but to be different, to be lights. Light not only exposes and illuminates, it chases away the darkness. We're told in Ephesians 5 verse 11 that as lights we are to expose the evil deeds found there in the darkness. Where it is east of Eden, though, where we can see something good and positive, men begin to call on the name of the Lord, we find that it is also where people thoroughly corrupted themselves. In Genesis 6:1-5, there was spiritual indifference. They had no love for God, verse 5 and verse 12. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus reiterates one of the greatest commands from the Old Testament, from the Old Law, that we are to love God with all our heart, our soul, mind, and strength. And we see in the days of Noah that mankind did not love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and all their strength. In fact, they loved themselves. Verses 5 and 12, there was violence. That means there was no love for others. Violence was rampant. Verse 11 and 13 of Genesis 6. Matthew 22:39, Jesus also, quoting from the Old Law, said, we're to love our neighbor as ourself. They did not love their neighbor as their self. And so the violence and the corruption on the land was such that every thought and intent of the heart, it says, was continually to do evil. That's how bad things got east of Eden. So that God was going to tell Noah that a flood was coming. And so this is east of Eden where God's judgment against sin was announced and applied, or we might say carried out. In Genesis 6:6-7, Genesis 7:11-12, and that's supposed to be verse 19, I apologize for the extra six there, but the global flood happened, where God said he was going to wipe mankind, all his creation, off the face of the earth. Well, this water judgment foreshadows fire judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 5-7 in verse 10, the global warming that all men ought to truly be concerned about is the elements will melt with intense heat as the world will one day be burned up. And so how we live now determines our judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 5, 28-29, that there's coming a day that all men, the wicked and the just, are going to hear the voice of God. They're going to rise from their graves. He says the good man to eternal life, the wicked man to eternal punishment. There are two choices in life. To remain east of Eden, or do what we can to be promised the right to that tree of life, as we talked about last week. But while all these things look really bad, and there is this shining glimmer of hope where men began calling on the name of the Lord, we find another glimmer of hope, even amongst judgment that's going to be a global judgment of water. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us that despite the world around him, despite the corruption and the violence and the evil of their hearts, Noah was different. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of that, mankind was saved. And the line of Adam was saved so that the seed of woman might come about and destroy the serpent. In Philippians 2:15, we read that Paul commended the saints at Philippi for being lights in the darkness, for being blameless and upright, children above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Brethren, we're called upon to be the same. We're called upon to be like Noah, to be different than the rest of the world around us. Grace is found east of Eden. Announced by God's command, there is going to be a flood, but also received by Noah's obedient faith, where we can read in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that by faith, Noah saved his family. Noah and his family, we read in other places, it was eight souls total, were saved by the grace of God. Living east of Eden, then, is a metaphor for dwelling away from the presence of God. But it's not all doom and gloom. We have all lived east of Eden, but Christ can take us to the paradise of God. There is hope. Christ, the good shepherd, John 10, 11, and verse 14, left the 99 righteous sheep to go east of Eden to bring back the one who had gone astray. He says his mission in Luke 19:10 is to seek and save the lost. Christ offers the cure to the death sin brought into the world. Romans 5:17, verse 21. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:21 to 22. Ephesians 2:13 to 16. Eternal life is found in Christ. Eternal life is found in Christ. Hope and salvation are found east of Eden in our Messiah. In Matthew 2:1-2, we read it was the star in the east that led the wise men from the east to Bethlehem, where Jesus was, and they worshiped him. In Matthew 2:1-2 and verses 9-11. Even as a child, a very young child, it was the star in the east that led the wise men to Bethlehem. Here is Jesus as very young, possibly a toddler. Herod's killing the children, 2 years and under. Here's Jesus drawing men from the east to himself. And the wise men came, they found the child, they presented their gifts, they bowed their faces to the ground, and they worshiped him. Here is a beautiful picture of Jesus drawing men from the east to his side. It was Jesus who would bring people back to the Lord because of sacrifice for sins. John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah, Luke 1:76-79. It was foretold that John the Baptist's job, his very mission, was to prepare the way for the people to come back to God. And he called upon them to repent. And it was Jesus who would bring people back to the Lord for his, because of his sacrifice for sins. Matthew 1:21, John 1:29, it was foretold as both as the angel to Joseph, he would save his people from their sins. John the Baptist pointed it out in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John 12:32, Jesus says, I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Ephesians 2:13-16, we read that it's in his blood that we are reconciled, man to man, Jew and Gentile, no longer enemies, and man to God, no longer strangers, no longer aliens living east of Eden, but have the right to come back to that paradise of God, have that right to partake of the tree of life. It is Jesus Christ who can bring us from east of Eden back to that garden of God, that paradise, that new Eden. I want you to look with me in Revelation 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7. Talking to the church at Ephesus, Jesus wraps up his letter to them by saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." He who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. God will give that right back to those who are faithful. The saints will have that right that was taken away back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, where man was driven out of the garden. An angel with a flaming sword that turned every direction was to keep them from taking that tree of life. God says, for the faithful, for those who overcome the trials and the weather and the storms of life, he's going to grant to them to eat freely of that tree of life. Revelation 22, 1 to 4. This was our text last week. We're going to read it again as we wrap up. It says in Revelation 22, 1 to 4, "Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." And over in verse 14 and verse 17, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." The water of life and the tree of life, only the saints, only the faithful, those followers of Jesus Christ who overcome the trials of life, have that right to both. So those who obey him, Christians, saints, will be given the right to the tree of life and enjoy the garden of paradise, that new Eden that God has waiting for the faithful. Living east of Eden is a metaphor for life after sin came into the world and into our lives. Living east of Eden is of a life lived away from God and away from his blessings. It is God's judgment of sin and eternal death that lie east of Eden. Revelation 20, 11 to 15 says, "Anyone whose names are not recorded in the book of life will suffer the second death in eternal torment." Those disobedient to the gospel who remain east of Eden for whatever reason will suffer eternal punishment. God has provided the way home. He's provided the way back. But it's up to us to take it. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Those that remain east of Eden, who remain disobedient, they will suffer that eternal punishment. Jesus is that bright morning star. Revelation 22, 16 describes Jesus as the bright morning star. The bright morning star is seen best as in the morning, towards the east. He's bringing men back to him. Why would we remain east of Eden when we can follow the bright morning star to the paradise of God? God's grace, salvation, and that living hope are found east of Eden, compelling us to live by faith and obey Jesus Christ, to be given entrance into the eternal paradise of God. Revelation 2:7, as we read in chapters 22, verses 1 to 5. The question this morning is, are you living east of Eden, awaiting punishment? Or have you obeyed the gospel that you might gain entrance into the eternal paradise of God? And if not, why not? Why wait? Why not now? Why not put on the Lord in baptism? Follow that morning star, that bright morning star to salvation. And if we can assist you in anything this morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be to have the right to enter the paradise of God. You need to believe, repent, be baptized, and live faithfully. And if we can assist you in that, the waters of baptism are prepared and ready. This morning, if you're a Christian struggling with sin in your life, remember, you don't have to suffer alone. Jesus went through it before. He understands. You can pray to him for help. You can come to your brothers and sisters for help, and we can offer a prayer on your behalf, knowing the prayers of the righteous can accomplish much. And if we can assist you in that, come forward and let your request be made known while together we stand and sing.